Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Just remain standing and pray with me tonight that God will speak through His Word to every person in this building. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You rescued us. You reached down and found us in the miry clay, lost, hopeless, and You lifted us up, and You chose us, and You called us, and You cleansed us, and You saved us, and You gave us hope and an assurance of salvation and eternal life. Now, Father, we ask You tonight that the Holy Spirit will minister to every person in this building and minister to those that listen. God, we ask tonight, we invite the Holy Spirit, touch every person in this building. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit speaks to every person. God, we ask tonight that Your Word will sink deep into our hearts. Give me the ability to explain and to teach and to share Your Word. Take from my mind any thoughts or words that shouldn't be said, and let the Holy Spirit give me the words that need to be said tonight. God, let eternity be affected tonight. Change lives, meet people, give us understanding, and let the name of Jesus be lifted up and magnified in this building tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that work will be done tonight that will count for eternity. Hallelujah. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Now, you may be seated, and I have three scriptures to read to you tonight. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me. And the first is found in the book of Galatians and the 6th chapter, and starting at the 6th verse. Let him who is taught the word share in all things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not lose heart or faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, if you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. See, that was 6:6, and this is 9:6. We're in the 9s and 6s tonight. But this I say, starting at the 6th verse of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that always, having all sufficiency enough in all things, having an abundance for every good work, as it is written, he that disperses abroad or sows, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now, I would like to read what Jesus said about this in Matthew's Gospel, the 19th chapter. This is a little longer. I want to read it because this is a tremendous, tremendous teaching here. Now, behold, one came to Jesus and said, this is the rich young ruler, good teacher or good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good. That's a great statement. No one is good but one, and that's God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to Jesus, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. Now, this is a different angle now. The other one was sowing and reaping on earth. Now he says, you sow down here and you'll reap in heaven. You'll have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men that is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Jesus said to them, this is a great part. Listen carefully. Assuredly, I say to you, that in the generations that the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold, and inherit everlasting life. Incredible. Three passages, and there are three points that are so important. First of all, the first one that I read to you is where he said, sowing and reaping, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever we sow, that's a divine law. Sowing and reaping is something that goes on all during your life. That is, all of life is sowing and reaping. But there were three things that are important. One is the negative. Sowing and reaping, Paul said in Corinthians, that to the flesh, sowing and reaping that which brings destruction. Sowing and reaping that which brings life and blessing. But everybody is sowing and reaping. And then Jesus added a dimension. Not only said you get 100-fold here for certain sacrifices, but you'll have eternal life and a reward. He told the rich young man, you'll have a reward. You'll have treasures in heaven. You'll get another reward. You'll get not only a reward here, but a reward in heaven. Evil brings evil here and eternal destruction. Good brings good here. Sowing good brings good here and brings blessing in all eternity, forever and ever and ever. Incredible. Just for one quick illustration on the negative side to show you what is sowing and reaping in the negative. Jacob was, and his mother decided that he was to receive the birthright of Esau. And he was the youngest. And he wanted his brother's birthright. So the mother and Jacob deceived his father. His mother killed an animal and put the skin on Jacob's arms and on around his neck, killed his lamb and put the skin on because Esau was a very hairy man. It describes that about his birth. He was a very hairy man. And in order to be like Esau and to deceive his father, his mother killed his lamb, and he was part of it. They killed the lamb, put the skin on his arms, and put the skin around him. So when his father touched him, wherever he touched him, he'd touch him and feel he was hairy like Esau. His father was blind. Isaac is now blind. And Isaac has told Esau to go and get ready. He's going to give him the blessing of the firstborn, this incredible blessing. And while he's out getting the animal and getting the meal ready that his father loved, his mother and Jacob deceive the father. She kills the animal and gets him all dressed up in the skin and sends him in, and he deceives Isaac. Isaac thinks this doesn't sound like Esau. So he reaches out to touch him, and he feels him, and he's convinced this is Esau. So he gives him the blessing of the firstborn. Years have gone by, and Jacob has had an experience with God, an incredible life-changing experience, but Jacob's sons go out and decide to kill Joseph, to destroy Joseph, and then his oldest brother says, no, 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 don't do that, let's sell him. And so they kill an animal and put the blood on Joseph's coat and bring it back to his father, and bring it back to Jacob, just like Jacob had done to his father. They killed an animal, took the skin, and they deceived him. They kill this animal, take the blood, and come back to this dear Jacob, who is so heartbroken now, to think that Joseph is gone, and say, "This, do you recognize this? It's the coat of many colors. Do you recognize it with all this blood on it?" And they say, "You know, he was killed. We don't know how. We just came and found this coat. Your son is killed." They've sold him, of course, in slavery. And he is devastated. You see, the pain that he brought, that he receives, is even more than the pain that he gave his father. Because it multiplies. See, it multiplies. Just like God says later on about the good multiplies. The bad that someone does multiplies. You don't just reap exactly what you sow. Grain multiplies, and bad multiplies. And he is now hurt worse than he hurt his father. His father is terribly hurt by it, but not nearly as hurt as he is now. So it's the same thing. He deceived his father, and now his children deceive him. There's no way that's not going to happen. It is a divine law that works in every life, all the time, sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow. You just sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. Sow criticism, you'll reap criticism. But you'll reap more than you sow. Whatever you sow gets multiplied. And but one wonderful part about this story is this. In the meantime, after he's deceived his father, he has a life-changing experience with God. And he wrestles with the angel when he's going to meet his brother Esau. He wrestles with his angel, and his name is changed. His name is changed to Israel, from Jacob to Israel. He has a name change, and he receives this incredible blessing from God. So now, even though he reaps it, God will turn it around and make it a blessing. Isn't that incredible? He turned it around and makes it a blessing because it's so incredible, because Joseph says, Satan meant it for evil, God meant it for good, and in the end, Joseph is spared, and he gets the blessing. And even though it crushed him, blessing comes out of it. Now that you're serving God, blessing can come out of whatever comes to you. All things work together for good. That's the wonderful part about being a Christian. Hallelujah. Even the bad that you reap, God makes it good. Isn't that incredible? And that's God Almighty can take the bad and turn it into something. Praise God. Now, I don't want to dwell on that, on the negative, but tonight I want to take two areas in the good part, sowing and reaping. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said to this story, this chapter, this 19th of Matthew, there's two things he says. He says that you'll receive reward. He tells a young man, he says, if you will sell all and give to the poor, you will have treasures in heaven. And then he tells Peter he not only would have had treasures in heaven, he'd have gotten treasures on earth. He would have gotten a tremendous blessing on earth as well as treasures in heaven. Whatever you do for God, whatever you give up, houses or land, he said, you get 100-fold. It not only comes through you, it comes to your children, it comes to the next generation. You see, I asked years ago, teaching in Bible school, I was asking the students one time in a class I was having on leadership, and I asked them, why was it that God blessed Solomon with so much riches when he knew that his blessing, Solomon, couldn't handle it? The reason is, it's a law. David had made such gifts to God that God owed this to his children. He's going to bless him. And he multiplies. He's going to bless him. And he blessed Solomon, even though Solomon didn't handle it and went to pieces under the blessing. It came down because of the blessing of his father, of David. And because he had made a right decision, the blessing came down incredibly upon him. More than he ever dreamed he would have. He says, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you riches. And I'm going to give it to you. Why is he going to give it to him? David pre-saved all of that material and gave it to the building of the temple. And God paid him back 100-fold. He says it. It's incredible what God will do if you will listen to him. He said, nobody gives up houses and lands, but he gets 100-fold and he gets the blessing. He gets the blessing. You see, whatever God asks of you, to give to him, when it touches his hands and you give it out of your heart and he really asks you, and Paul says that, give generously and you'll reap generously. Give sparingly and you'll reap sparingly. You'll reap. Everybody's reaping. You're sowing and reaping all your life. It's what it's all about. And if you will give when God asks you to give. Now he asks this young man, says, give your wealth. He would have given him wealth. He would have given him whatever he needed, and he would have given him incredible blessings in eternity. He would have come down to his posterity. It's a law. It works. Satan says it doesn't work. It works, people. It works in a church. It works in a home. It works with a family. It works with an individual. It works with a nation. It's a law. Sowing and reaping is a law. Divine law that works in everybody's life. Now, I just think of the little boy that gave Jesus his lad, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. When it touched the hands of Jesus, when it touched his hands, he fed 5,000 men and women and children, about 20,000 people from the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, because when it touches the hands of God, it's multiplied incredible. Whatever you give out of your heart that God asks you. But now think of this. Think of the blessing. You don't know that story, but in eternity, I want you to look up the boy. When you get to heaven, look the boy up that gave the loaves and the fish and ask him what happened and find out how he got blessed in this life as well as in eternity. Hallelujah. You'll be shocked at what he'll tell you. Because this boy... Now listen, this boy's story was put in that book. He never dreamed it. He never dreamed that millions and millions and billions of people would read his story. He did one thing and gave it to God and put those little loaves and those fish, and that story has blessed the world. Can you imagine how that little boy just giving up one lunch when he's hungry, how when it touched God's hands, how it not only fed 20,000 people approximately, but how it is blessed spiritually, and now he's going to be rewarded. We got a blessing on this earth too. He didn't tell us, but we know that because of what he said. And eternity, hallelujah, the blessing for all eternity. Let me tell you, folks, when Jesus asked that young man, when I first read this story, not so spiritual and not so aware, I thought, boy, you know, he said, that's a tough thing. Give everything up to the poor. Give it all up. What an opportunity. What a fantastic opportunity that boy had to give up his wealth and give it to the poor. And Jesus said, follow me, be one of my disciples. Incredible opportunity. And it went away sorrowful. And a great story. I got to hurry tonight because this is such a tremendous lesson. And I pray God help me to say it quick. I was a young man in England, in Oxford University, heard that, read this story. He was in a meeting with the young man by D.L. Moody, was preaching in Oxford. Can you imagine that? D.L. Moody, with a third grade education, was preaching in one of the greatest universities in the world, in Oxford, in England, and speaking terrible English, and the English is so precise, and he was murdering the King's English preaching. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed. They made fun of him. They sat in a seat. Those students had laughed out loud and just hollered at him. And he never flinched. By less than a week, it had changed. And the power of God came into the place. And a young man by the name of C.T. Studd was in the meetings. And he got saved. And he went to China as a missionary, and he read this story that I read to you tonight, and he said, man, what an opportunity, what a privilege. And sure enough, he got a wire to come home. He inherited a fortune, a real fortune, and he said, I'm going to do just what God said to that young man. Gave the whole thing away as quick as he could to the poor, dispersed with his fortune, went back, and God used him. Then he went to Africa and set a row of churches across North, Central and North Africa that was to stop the Muslims from coming down any further into Africa. He was part of that group that brought Christianity across that whole part of the continent. Incredible. Incredible. He read that story, and he said, I'm going to be that man. See, it works, folks. It's incredible what God will do. When he asks you just to do one small thing, God said to Abraham, give me your son. And one of the greatest story in the Old Testament is Abraham offering up Isaac. That's the truth. There's nothing equal to that in the Old Testament. Is Abraham offering up his son Isaac on Mount Moriah where Jesus Christ died. And Abraham offered his son up. God said, give me your son. Because if you'll give me your son. And Abraham did everything but put the knife in his throat. And he had it drawn back. And in his heart, he killed him. But the angel grabbed him, of course, and stopped him. And he said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Now that you've given me your son, I will make your seed like the stars of the sky. In the millions and billions, you can't count them. I will make your seed like now, because you have put a son in my hands. Now I can give you posterity because you gave me the son. Now I can multiply him. But I had to have him to do it. You had to give him to me in order for me to multiply. Once you give him to me and I can multiply him. And God blessed Abraham with other children, but God has blessed Abraham. Incredible, folks. And I think of the woman that gave the prophet a little cake of bread, and Elijah, and gave him a cake of bread and a little oil. She was cooking, and she said, "I'm going to cook the last meal I have and give it, and my son and I are going to die. That's it, one last cake." And he said, "Give me a small cake first." When I first read that as a young man, I thought, boy, that's a so terrible thing. That woman is starving, and this prophet comes and says, "Give me something first." But the blessing was, because once she gave it to him, it would be touched by God, and the meal would never go out. It would just never go. Folks, can you just imagine that? And what did he multiply? The meal, just exactly what he gave. She just kept digging out, and it was weeks and months. I don't know how long it was, a few years till the crisis was over and this famine was over. It never went dry. And the oil was always there. It was always there. He got more than 100-fold. He got a few hundreds of fold. It doesn't even matter. It's endless. See, what touches the hand of God, what God asks for, it is incredible what he will do. If you will listen to him, he will bless your life. He's asking some folks here tonight to do things, to give up something, to give up something to him. Give it to him. It's not just giving it up. We preach that way, and that's such a mistake. It's not giving it up. It's putting it in his hands, turning it over to him. Give it to him, and let this watch the blessing come down upon you more than you can realize, and then in eternity you will reap it. He said you'll have treasures in heaven. You get blessed on earth and blessed in heaven. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, eternal life. And one of, you know, and Satan always says, you can't afford to do that. You can't do that. Don't do that. He asks everybody for something, for many things. And, it's just whatever he asks, if you will listen and pay attention to him and do it, the reward and the results are incredible, just incredible. Just like D.L. Moody, God called him to preach and leave his business and to go preaching. And he had such a little education, but God filled him with his spirit on the streets of Brooklyn, where God met D.L. Moody in such an incredible way. And he laid one hand on America and one on England and brought two continents closer to God. One man with a third grade education held the greatest revival in Oxford that was ever held there. One of the most elite colleges or universities in the world. This man couldn't talk straight, but with the power of God brought a revival that shook that nation of England. Amen. Because he gave his talent, the little talent that he had, he gave it to God. It doesn't matter how much you've got. It's the hands of God that touches it that makes the difference. It's incredible what God would do with you if you would listen to him, if you'll listen when he speaks to you. And praise God. You know, the devil is such a liar. Such a liar. He lies to everybody. He sure lies to me, and I'm sure he's lied to you. Don't believe the devil. Listen to the Lord. Listen to God. Hallelujah. Listen when God speaks to you and ask you to give something up and do something for him. Turn loose of it and see what God will do with your life and touch you. He's calling young people in here. We're going to face an incredible thing in this country. I know that. Just like God showed Pastor Dave, he's shown me. I don't understand it, but I know it's coming. But there's going to be folks that are going to rise up and speak the word of God with power, and we're going to see revival, and we're going to see God do great things. But he's got to have folks that say yes, that say yes to God, that will listen to him. Praise God. Whatever he asks you for. We were building the church over in 7th Avenue and 64th Street in Brooklyn. And the church had been giving and giving to missions. We gave half of our income to missions, half of what the church took in. And we're just a mission church. And we're poor people. And, a couple of hundred people. And in the early days, when God blessed that church, we got such a vision for missions that we gave half of what we took in, went to missions, both in this country, to missions, opening missions in New York and overseas. And we just had such incredible meetings when those missions conventions. We had C.M. Ward, one of the great speakers of America, and we're a church of no more than 200 people. I invited the greatest speaker in America to come to hold a convention. I rented a large church. We're 200 people, and I'm praying, and God says to me, I was thinking maybe I could raise $10,000, $15,000, and God says $30,000, $25,000, $25,000. I almost collapsed in the bed. Thought, $25,000? That's you know, we only get maybe $30,000 or so in a year. We only get a few hundred dollars a week. This is years ago in hard times and poor people. We didn't get anything. God says, I want you to raise $25,000. Well, the devil said, you can't, it can't. I said, listen, God said it, and I'm going to get defeated here in this bed. I'm going to get defeated. I'm going to fight right out there on the floor. We rented this large denominational church. A Reformed church down 4th Avenue, and had C.M. Ward come in. And the first meeting, we just had a handful of people. And boy, I walked all afternoon the streets, and Satan said, you fool, you've got that big sign up, $25,000. You're going to raise nothing. But, you know, that night, the power fell. And we pledged, and we had more people, and we pledged again. And the second night, we pledged more, and we tore our pledges up and wrote more pledges. The power fell. We had the children from Coney Island marching, and most of these children were from broken homes, and we'd bust them in. And boy, we began to cry. We saw those children. We've got to reach the children. We've got to reach these kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we were paying for it, and we were getting a building down there. Boy, the power of God fell on us, and we raised $30,000. Hallelujah. $30,000. Tremendous. C.M. Ward said to me later, years later, he said, Ben, that was one of the greatest meetings I was ever in. We were not that many, but such power. It changed our church. So let me tell you what happened. We came to build a church. We had outgrown the store buildings on McDonald. We were praying for land, and God said to me, I'll give you the land on 7th Avenue and 64th Street. It was a large towers on it, worth a lot of money, several million now. And God said, I'll give it to you because the church gave all of your money to missions. You don't have the money to buy it. I will give it to you. And God spoke to the man that owned it. And the Lord said, he's going to give you that land, the whole corner of that street. He's going to give it to you. I went to Willie Tornquist that owned it. And I told him, we'd like to buy the land. How are you going to tell somebody they got to give it to you? I didn't know how to tell him he's going to give it to us. And so I said, we'll buy it. And he said to me, kind of tough, he was a tough businessman. He said to me, God never sold me anything. I don't sell things to God. Ooh, I thought that didn't work. So I said, well, could we take the mortgage? There is no mortgage on it. It's all paid for. Well, I said, God just gave me a scripture. He has need of that land. He said, Willie, he is a tough guy, tough businessman. He said, begin to cry. He said, that's the scripture that God gave me. He said, I'm going to give it to you. And he said, I was going to retire with that land, but now I'm going to give it to the church. And he took a map, took his pencil, and drew it. I took that to the engineers, and that was the piece. It was the whole corner, as much as we needed. It's yours for God. You see, the church gave to missions. And when the church didn't have it, God said, now I'll give it to you. Listen, you can't miss. Folks, if only you can get this tonight in your life. You're sowing and reaping all of the time. God would like you to reap some big things, some greater things, but you have to make the commitment. He'll speak to you. He's a talking God. Don't ever think God wouldn't speak to me. He is a talking God. He is a communicating God. And His Spirit is speaking to folks all over this building. He's here. We prayed it. He's here to speak. So while we were building that building, we got the building up, and we were having such a job paying for it. And I was praying to pay for this building. How can, because we were only now a couple of hundred people in a building with seats 700 to 800, and we're struggling to pay for it. And the land had been given to us, but we had to put the building up, and it cost you know a lot of money, lots of money, and we're struggling to pay. And I'm praying because we'd given to put the building up. I'd gone to the bank and borrowed money, didn't have any cash, borrowed several thousand dollars to give to the church. I went to my mother, who lived in a little house in Connecticut, who was with me at the founding of that work, and asked her. I said, "Mama, we need money to pay for this church now. We've got the land and we've got the building going up. We need money." She didn't have any either. She said, raise the mortgage on my house. So I raised the mortgage on my mother's house. She said, raise it as high as the bank will give it to you. Take every penny of the money and give it to the church. So we raised the mortgage on my mother's house. I've gone to the bank and borrowed this money. Now, my father-in-law had given me a piece of land in Connecticut, the Mystic, where we come from. And my brother had built me a house, and we rented it out. Because I had two children, he said, someday you'll need to retire, you'll need a house, you'll need an income. And then the Lord said, so I'd sold it, and I was loaning that money, thousands of dollars, to the church. And I'm praying, and God says, now, I want you to give all of it, everything you have, give the house to the church. Now, that was hard. We'd borrowed money. I've raised the mortgage on my mother's house. I've given everything I've got. And God said, now I want you to give everything. Give the house. Wow, I thought. He said, do you want me to pay for it? I said, yes. Well, he said, now you do what I tell you to do and I'll pay for it. So I came to my wife. I said, Jean, God is asking us to give everything. Give the house up. All of it. We're loaning it to the church. He said, no loan. Give it all, everything. Wow. You know, what would you say if you were his wife? She said, are you sure God said that? You mean God said that? Give the house up? I said, yes, he said it. I'm sure. He said it. Well, she prayed and we prayed together and we thought, she said, I'll tell you what. If God said it, we're going to do it. Let's give it up. So we gave everything, gave the house to the church, gave it up. Let me tell you, outside of getting saved and getting married to my wife, that was the smartest thing I ever did. Smart, because I had faith. Right away, I had faith. I had faith that God would give me a houses. He said He'd give you 100-fold. I had faith. I went back to Connecticut, where I come from, and where we'd given up the house. I went to see the real estate agent and went to see Mr. Sullivan and went to see him and ask him, "What do you got for sale?" He said, "I've got a piece of property for sale. A wealthy millionaire from New York City, from Fifth Avenue here in New York, Mr. Levy, a German-American that owns a manufacturing company. He's got a house here in Mystic with a tower overlooking the ocean and a guest house and a wonderful house. And that's one of his favorite homes. He and his wife come here every summer. Besides, he owns some other homes, but this is his favorite place in the summer. And he's put it on the market. And boy, I looked at that, said, I don't have faith for that. That's a little much for me. So I went to the bank and I asked, I'll buy the little house, the guest house. I'll buy that. And I went to the bank and asked them to give me a mortgage on the guest house. And they looked at my income and they said, with an income like that, you should ask for a dog house or something. Like you should. Don't, He said, don't you ask for, there's no way we're going to loan you money for a house with your income. So that didn't work. I went back to see Mr. Sullivan, and a real estate man, and he said, I got an offer on that whole property. And he said, it's half of what he's asking for it. But he said, Levy's a businessman. He said, he's never going to take it. I said, Mr. Sullivan, you don't know what a man will do. Nobody in this world knows what somebody else will do. I said, offer him $1,000 more from me. Now I'm broke, totally broke. I said, offer him $1,000 more from us, from me. He said, he's not going to take it. I said, do what I say. Are you my agent? I said, do what I say. And so he calls Levy up and offers him $1,000 more from me and tells Levy who I am. I'm a minister from Brooklyn and so forth. He says, sell it to him for that price. Let him have it. And they call me back and said, he said, give it to you for that price. So I go back to the same bank that said I couldn't buy the little house. And they said, oh, we wanted that house. We'll give you a mortgage on the whole thing. We'll give you a mortgage. Now I'm it's different, see? And they said, we would like that. If you decide to sell, we want that property. How did you get into this? And so they gave me a mortgage, but I had to come up with several thousands of dollars down. And I couldn't get it. My father-in-law could have loaned me the money, but he was stretched out building some houses. He couldn't. I had no way to, I was broke. The day came for me to come up with the money, and I didn't have a penny, nothing. I wait till late in the afternoon before the office closes to call Sullivan up to tell him, let the other man have it. I don't have it. I get on the phone. My voice is down. I'm down. Have you ever been down? Anybody in here ever been down? You know what I'm talking about? Down. I mean, down, down, down. Right, that's where I was. I was so discouraged to think I can't get it. I'm watching this thing go through my fingers. It's a fortune, you know. And I call him up, and I say, you know, my voice is slow, and I'm down. And I call my agent up, my attorney up is who I called, who was going to meet with that day with the closing. And I said to him, how are you? And he says, oh, is this you, Mr. Crandall, Reverend Crandall? I said, yes, it's me. He said, I'm so glad you called. Boy, I thought, I'm not glad I called. And he said, listen, I don't have the papers ready. We can't do it today. I'm not ready. Would you give me a couple of weeks? I said, how would a month do? Right. He says, yeah, I'll give you a month. I said, now, Mayor Prescott, whenever the month is up, have those papers ready. I said, I don't want it anymore. We're not going to postpone this again. Right. Boy, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. When the month was up, I had the money. Friends of mine loaned me the money. I bought the place. I sold the little house and paid the people back. I had the money to convert the big house into a multiple dwelling. I mean, rented it out. I rented out the tower and I kept it for a summer home for 20-something years. And I bought it without a penny. It never cost me a penny. I had enough down payment left from selling the little house to buy a house that became worth $1 million on Narrows Avenue. Yes. Praise God. I put a down payment on that. And I owned all of it for nothing. I didn't have a penny because God said, give me your house. I'll give you houses. Hallelujah. I'll give it back to you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Later, I was able to buy a $5 million property for the school up in Rhode Island. And 5 million, and God said to me, we'll do the same thing now in the millions. Praise God for 5 million. Why? Because I gave a little house to God. He blessed me with houses. He blessed me with real estate to bless the school for millions. I bought that real estate over $5 million with nothing. Praise God. Because, you see, and I went to the bank the same way. They didn't realize I'm used to buying things with nothing. Praise God. You see? It's wonderful. Because, you know, that's, listen, folks. Now, listen, let's get serious now, right now. There's things in here that God wants you to do. He's talking to you. He's asked you for something. He's asking you. He doesn't ask everybody for that, but he asks everybody for something. He's given you something that he wants back. Not that he can take it from you, that he can touch his hands. He wanted that little house to touch his hands, that he could multiply it. He wants to touch something of yours, a talent. He will take, like he did with D.L. Moody. Take your talent. Moody had the most limited talent. Bless a nation. Blesses the world. Because he gave it to God. He wants your talent. He's asking you for something. And Satan says, don't do it. But if you will give it up to him, he will bless you back. Now, the wonderful part of this is, he said to the man, you'll have treasures in heaven. Just like the boy with the loaves and the fish, he's got treasures in heaven. God wants to give you something for eternity. Hallelujah. Shararama hokudia lidiyama kasatia rian diabokusutia. For the Lord has eternity in view, and he wants to touch your life and to give you something after this life. When this life is over and you lay yourself down and it comes to the end, and he wants you in the resurrection morning to meet a reward. He's asking you. He's trying to build you for eternity. There's something more than life. Yes, he rewards us down here, but someday we close our eyes and this life is all over. But he said to the young man that he said, come follow me and you'll have great rewards in heaven. Not only are you blessed here, but you will be blessed there. God is preparing you for something. Now listen to him tonight. When you pray and God speaks to you, don't hold back. Whatever it is, learn to say yes. Because like Abraham, as painful as it was, when it touched the hands of God, it blessed eternity. It blessed the world. And just like the boy with the bread and the fish, and just like so many others, when you put it into his hands, he loves you. And he wants to multiply you. And he wants to bless you. And he wants your life to be a blessing. And praise God. Tonight, whatever he's asking you for, whatever it is, for your talent, to sing in the choir, to do something else, to witness for him, to listen to him. I beg you tonight, listen to God. Young man, if God's calling you, don't you hold back. I was the most unlikely person to be here. This is the truth. You can't imagine how unlikely it was for me to be here. But when I yielded that little talent to God and gave myself to God, rather than trying to make something in this life, I said, I give it to you. Then God took my life because he saw, he wanted me. I'm here to beg you tonight. Listen to God. I'm here to ask the Holy Spirit to call out young men and young women. I haven't got time to tell of others tonight, of the one that went to Africa and it gave her motherhood to God and became the mother of the Nile and became the mother of thousands of children because she gave her life to God. And God took her and touched Egypt, touched the country of Egypt with her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. Praise God. He's calling you. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't just call these folks in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He didn't just call me. He's calling you. He's speaking to you tonight. Listen to him and see the great things that God will do for you. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Folks, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart, and I'm not going to try and define what that is. Pastor Ben started tonight by just reading that scripture about sowing and sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption, and sowing to the Spirit and reaping life as a result, and then began to build from there about just giving everything to God and how God will multiply. Folks, we can't outgive God tonight. What is he asking of you? Would you bow your head with me tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have been speaking to each of our hearts. Thank you tonight that you are going to do a miracle as a result. You are going to multiply tonight as a result of our simple obedience and faith. As we give everything to you tonight, as we yield that which you're asking for tonight, there's going to come a freedom. There's going to come a liberty. You're going to expand the borders of our tents. You're going to bring an increase in and through our lives. And as Pastor William shared, you're going to use us to bless others. Tonight we say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to stand quietly and reverently all over this house. And I want you to get out of your seat. Come to the front here. Pastor Ben's going to come back and pray with you. You know what the Holy Spirit's asking for tonight? We're going to sing one worship song, and then Pastor Ben's going to come back and pray. Tonight's your night for a miracle. Tonight's your night for freedom. Up in the balcony, we'll wait for you. Go to either exit and come down. Come quickly. Don't rationalize. Don't give the enemy any opportunity to rob you of the blessing that God is going to bring into your life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's look to the Lord right now. Lift your hands, your hearts to the Lord. He's here. And he's going to do great things. You may not think it, but this is a great God. And hallelujah. Whatever you give him that he asks for and it touches his hands, it's going to be blessed. Beyond measure, beyond your imagination. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. You'll meet it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for every person standing here tonight. God, we thank you because you've called. We thank you for every person. Now, God, we ask you to speak to us. Let us give ourselves to you. God, these are the last days, and you're calling your people to a higher level of commitment. God, let us give time to you that you can multiply it. Hallelujah. Let us give time to you, talent to you. Give ourselves to you. Let us listen to your voice. Father, we ask you to help us to have a keen ear, to listen to the voice of the Lord that you speak to. You're a speaking God. And Father, we ask you to speak to the people all over this building. God, speak to us and tell us what is your plan. What do you desire from us, God? Let us give you ourselves. Now we ask, God, that you talk to us and that we say yes. Father, let there be a incredible yes go out of our hearts, not only tonight, but in the days ahead. Whenever we kneel in prayer, whenever we hear your voice and we read the word and you speak to us out of the word, God, let there be a yes. God, let there be a yes. bless this church. Bless the pastors. Bless the choir. Let there be a yes in the choir, a yes in the platform, and a yes with the elders. And across this congregation, God, let there be a mighty yes to you, that this city can be blessed. Hallelujah. That it will reach the ends of the earth in an ever, ever increasing flowing of your presence and of your spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise him in closing tonight. Thank you, God. Bless the missions trips. Bless the folks as they go, as they commit time to you. Hallelujah. Let your blessing come down on this congregation, on the homes, on the families, and on the posterity, and on this people. And we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's wind up shouting his praise tonight. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.